Welcome to the Midwest Anime Podcast, your number one destination for all things anime and animation. And on behalf of our hosts, Caleb and Andrew, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Hello. This is the third episode we are doing with a face cam.
Oh. They can see us?
Yes, they can. Fine. For
I need a shower more often.
Yeah. You're telling me, dude. Like,
I know. They can't see, but we can smell.
Anyway.
That's some good dry humor for you to start off this episode of the Midwest Anime Podcast.
Welcome back.
Hello.
We've already said that, but we have...
Caleb.
Andrew.
Like, subscribe.
Share.
Share. Tell your friends. Mm-hmm. Tell the people you don't like. Correct. Tell everybody.
Yep.
Share the love.
Sure. This episode, we're looking at the second arc of the first season of Sword Art Online, Alfheim. We have Andrew's dog, Frankie.
Yes.
She is joining us.
She wants food.
I believe she already has food, but...
Correct.
She's moving on.
Drama queens. You know chihuahuas.
Right.
Alfheim. The cringe level of this episode. Let's preface this with, the cringe level of this episode is gonna get intense at some point.
Yeah, yeah. The end of this arc is...
Can we say unnecessary?
Yes, very unnecessary. It's unnecessary, but it helps prove a point of how creepy the main bad guy is.
I just...
They could have done it in other ways. Yeah, we'll get to it, but starting off...
Can we start with the fact that this entire arc doesn't need to happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they could not have this happen at all.
Yeah, this could have been the second arc of Asuna and Kirito meet up in real life.
Oh yeah.
And they, you know,
it could have happened where she's not stuck in the game again because of some creepy asshole who wants to marry her.
Yeah.
But can't if she's awake, essentially. That's
because
he's a
creep.
Yeah, that's the essential backstory of the villain is that he's a creep. And he wants to marry Asuna, but...
Doesn't he work for her dad?
Yeah, he's, like, her dad's right-hand man,
but it's one of those things where you kind of get a glimpse into a different culture is... There are some cultures that, like, if you have money, you get to pick who you get to marry.
Yeah.
The girl gets no say in this.
Yeah.
And this is one of those situations where you're like... No.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And they do give her a choice. Sort of.
Kind of.
I don't know. It seems like he would have already married him.
Them.
If
yeah.
They would have already been married if she didn't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah, I think that it was kind of like a guaranteed unless situation.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
yeah, it was,
yep, you get first dibs.
Yeah, it was kind of a...
But also...
And to keep somebody...
And that's why he kept the creepiness below radar.
Yeah, yeah.
In front of the dad.
And that
prim and proper...
Yeah, and that does come up
guy
with...
Guy in a suit.
And that does come up in the second arc of... Or the third arc, technically, of season 2. That does come up. It is mentioned about Nobuyuki Sugo, about how he was their choice, because it was something. Some stuff happens with where Asuna starts fighting with her mom, essentially, about stuff, and because she wants to marry Kirito, but they don't think he's good enough. That kind of rich bullshit.
Yeah, of course, it's the Aladdin story,
essentially, but. Like,
did I just compare Aladdin to Sword Art? Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Am I proud of myself?
No.
Kind of.
I'm not.
I was able to make it work.
It's a stretch, but it works.
Yeah.
For what we're trying to get across, it works.
But let's focus on Alfheim.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kirito wakes up
right.
in a hospital. His hair is ridiculously long,
right.
which, thankfully, that got cut.
Mm-hmm.
Then we meet Sister Cousin.
Right.
Who is like, I've been practicing with this wood sword.
Right. Kendo is what it is actually called. Is what the sport is called.
Gotcha. And then Kirito proceeds to be like, I'll fight you with a sword.
Right. And then he one
and
hand.
She's
and
like,
then
he what the hell are you standing like that for?
Yeah, what the hell is that stance?
And then he realizes he's not as dexterous as a computer character.
Right. He doesn't have the stats of sword art Kirito.
Turns out, you don't XP level in real life.
What? Well, you kind of do by working out and stuff, but...
Yeah, but it reverses at a certain point.
Yeah.
Well, there's a point where you'll hit your peak.
He's doing rehab and stuff, and he's not at full strength, and... Yeah. But... You know, because he made a weird comment that the... I don't remember what the things are called. They're Shinai or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
But he makes a weird comment where
the
he says...
Shinamis? Is it Shinai?
I think it's Shinai, but I can't remember exactly.
We Googled it earlier, it's fine.
Yeah, we can't remember what the fuck the thing is, but...
Hey, we're not talking about our memory skills, alright? We didn't put enough stats into that one.
Yeah,
I didn't boost my wisdom today.
He makes a weird comment of it's lighter than he's used to.
Right, because
it's
he's...
Like, did his muscle memory, like...
Well,
get used to
with the nerve gear, he uses heavy longswords.
Right.
But they're one-handed. They're versatile weapons, so you can two-hand it or you can one-hand it.
Right.
And he chooses to one-hand.
Well, dual-wield at the end, he dual-wields.
And so his black sword, which I cannot for the life of me remember what it's called.
The Elucidator.
Is the strongest...
Magic sword.
Monster drop sword that you can find.
Right.
That isn't crafted.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because when he crafts the poop sword...
Right.
He doesn't make that one his main sword. He still sticks with the black one, even though...
It fits the aesthetic of the black swordsman.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, if it's a better sword, man, it's a better sword.
Yeah, but, again, it fits the aesthetic, so...
So, while we're out of game...
We're in real life.
We meet the actual crew from Sword Art.
Mm-hmm. We meet... I don't think we meet Klein until the end.
Right.
We meet the Ryo Aegil.
Yeah, and...
And obviously he looks exactly the same.
Yeah, because at the beginning of, you know, when Akihiko Kaiba gives him the mirror and then all of a sudden they're like, normal face.
Right.
Which I wonder if you didn't pull the mirror out. Would you still be your character?
I'm sure.
Interesting thought.
I'm sure it was just a mass thing.
And so we meet some of our characters, and he tells Kirito, now is
Kazuto,
about
this. We're just gonna refer to him as Kirito because Kirito is an abbreviation of his name.
Yes, and so Kazuto Kirigaya is a lot of words.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so he's told about a company, I'm pretty sure
it's Wrecked Progress or something like that?
Isn't that the guy who's trying to marry...
Yes, yeah, the company is owned by the guy who is...
Trying to marry Ozma.
Yeah.
And...
Sugo.
Right, yeah. And so, you get told about a game because Ozma has not woken up yet.
Right.
And
the doctors don't know why.
Yeah, I understand I'm saying Ozma instead of Asuna. It's just easier for me to use a Z. Just get over it.
Right. Okay. He means Asuna. He's just saying it in an easier way to...
Just how my brain processes words.
It's just allowing him to better...
Enunciate,
yeah.
And so we learn about... There's a picture of a girl in a cage at the top
of the world tree.
Yeah.
That looks exactly like Asuna.
From a distance...
Of course, for plot reasons, it is.
Yeah, they're all like, we think we found her. She's trapped in another game that uses Einkrad servers, of course.
Right, so he doesn't have any of his items, but he still has all his stats.
And skills.
So he cheats. Essentially.
No. It's like transferring your NCAA football player to your Madden game.
He refers to himself as a cheater.
He refers to himself as a cheater and... Sword Art at the beginning when he calls himself a beater.
Yeah, and we didn't touch on it, but we don't know if he actually is or not.
I don't think he is. I think he's just good.
He's just playing up to the fact that they think he is. So
yes, it's an ego thing. Like, you don't want to be like, no, I just
he prefers to play solo. So
it's a lot easier for when someone accuses you of being a cheater, for you to just be like, you know what? If that's what you think I am, that's who I am. Instead of being like, no, you guys don't understand. I've logged a lot of hours in this game. I worked really hard. I worked really hard at this. You know, I figured out how to use these certain skills, because then everyone goes, well, you should teach me those skills.
Okay.
And everyone starts to need you. This happens in Log Horizon with Shiro. And when we talk about Log Horizon eventually, this will show you the fact that Kirito made the greatest decision ever.
Right.
Because he doesn't have to help everyone.
Right.
And not
he only helps the people that he wants to help.
Like, correct.
Klein, Asuna,
and Egil. People don't stop him in the street and go, Kirito, I need you to save us.
Right.
I need your help. Join our party. You should join our guild. You should be a part of us.
Right.
And he can basically just be like, I wear black. Nobody look at me in the eyes or I will kill you.
Right.
He's an angsty teenager.
Yeah. He's 14, I think, at that the start
sweet,
of the...
sweet edge.
Yeah. He's 14 at the start of Sword Art, so he's still in the angsty phase of being a teenager. So, yeah.
And so he dives into Alfheim.
Right.
And
where he learns to fly.
The abridged does a hilarious thing about this where he like tries to put in a username and like Kirito's taken.
Yeah, and all variations of Kirito are taken except for like
the
ridiculously long like XXO underscore underscore Kirito with a 1 and a 0 and
it's actually a pretty good comedy, because if you think about it, like, no one is able, like, if I got on my Xbox right now and I went change my gamer tag and went change it to Andrew.
Right.
Guarantee it's taken.
Right. Yeah. 100%.
Granted, there's no good combination of my first and last name that would make it cool. So we're just going to skip that part.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just sitting there and you're like, huh, well, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. But it's the fact that it goes on for so long that he can't... It takes him so long to figure out a name variation is the funny part.
Yeah, but in the actual Alfheim, of course, he gets his name Kirito, because that's how everyone knows him. No one knows him as Kazuto. No one knows him as Kitty Gaia.
Yeah.
It's just kind
of... Except for his family, of course, but...
Yeah.
Like, even his friends from the game don't even call him Kazuto.
Right, well, like, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was weird at first that, like, Asuna never calls him Kazuto. She calls him... every once in a while.
Yeah, when it makes sense situations where she's like really like in a moment.
Yeah. Yeah, but other than that it's Kirito.
But it makes sense. Like, think about like your sports career.
Yeah.
You know, you're called by your last name through every sport you play. And eventually you just become that last name.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a first name anymore. Correct. And if someone calls you by your first name, you're like, who are you talking to?
Right.
Like,
especially if it's somebody that normally calls you by your last name.
Right. Like, I've been walking around and people will be like, Andrew, and I totally don't even register they're talking to me.
Right.
And so I'll like not be paying attention, because I'm like, you're not talking to me. You're talking to somebody else, because everyone who talks to me uses my last name.
Right.
And so
it'll take him a couple tries to
figure
out whales.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when we get into actual Alfheim, like you said, he learns how to fly.
Yes.
Which is a cool thing. He
brings back Yui for some reason.
As a pixie.
Yes.
That still proceeds to call him dad.
Yep. Anyway, he meets Leafa, who is secretly his...
Sister cousin?
Sister cousin.
Which is odd that she decided to be a blonde bimbo.
Yeah, I don't...
Not really sure how that worked.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
But... I did like the little side story where she's like, I decided to start playing because it would make me feel closer to my brother. And
right.
And I'm like, oh, that's nice.
And then
it gets weird.
Yeah. Essentially, once she finds out that they're not actually brother and sister, she gets this weird... There's this weird love...
There's a weird
aspect
vibe.
To it.
There's a weird vibe.
Yeah, it's... It's unnecessary as all hell.
It doesn't give us any benefit to the show.
Not at all.
Like, you don't gain any, like, oh, this is like them bonding and coming together. No, this is like, this is,
and I'm sure that was
close to turning into a really disturbing thing.
Right, and I'm sure it was intended that way. It was intended as a way for them to be bonded and stuff like that, but it didn't.
It did not come off like that at all.
Right.
And it could have been writing. I mean,
yeah, it could have been writing. It could have been
the facial expressions they chose to use.
Yeah, in the animation. It could have been the voice acting.
It could have been the suspense that they used. Yeah. So, like, when she says something, but then, like, kind of trails it off, and you kind of go, like,
you cringe because of the trail off. Like,
yeah, you're like, all right, I'm going to pause that for a minute. We're going to reset my brain so it doesn't go gross.
Yeah.
The entire time, I'm going to be honest with you, I really thought something was going to happen.
100%.
And I'm like,
I agree.
I'm like, you're going to take a phenomenal arc like Aincrad.
Yeah.
And you're going to come back with incest.
And
I was so, other stuff. I was so scared that that's where we were going.
Yeah.
Then I'm like,
and luckily it didn't.
Did you intentionally suicide an entire anime just because you couldn't follow it up?
Is it like the second season of Family Guy where Seth MacFarlane put every dick joke he could trying to get canceled?
I didn't
know. That's an urban legend that Seth MacFarlane was trying to get it canceled.
I mean,
the first time.
The same concept would apply to like Trey Parker and
Matt Stone, yeah, with South Park.
With South Park, because they go after
everyone.
Everyone.
No one is safe. And that's one. That's what I love. I love that about South Park.
That's what makes them honest.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I will say, like, I was nervous.
Yeah,
especially 100%. With the I forgot what his name is already. The Asuna thing.
Sugo,
thank you.
Yeah. Where it gets real uncomfortable.
Yeah, because like Kirito goes and visits her a lot, which is nice.
Yeah, it's
what
nice,
I would do.
And the thing is that it won't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me why her mom doesn't want her marrying him, because her dad really likes him. It seems like.
I mean, maybe
that's just common courtesy.
It also applies to kind of like just how people are. Moms are usually more protective of their babies.
Right.
Dads are more like, this guy's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you just talk to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've met people the other way around where, you know, dads are like, no, mine.
Right.
But not in like a creepy way, but right, in like an overprotective kind of way.
And typically when it's dads, it's specifically daughters when that happens. But it's the other way around with Asuna.
Right.
Where it's her mom. But I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what the deal is there. We'll get into that when we actually talk about that arc, because that's a sad arc all the way around, to be honest. But anyway,
you ready to get weird? For it to get really gross?
We have to.
Mentally disturbing?
I don't want to, but we have to.
I'm going to preface this with,
these are disturbing topics.
This is not something I've ever wanted to discuss on a podcast or in any format ever.
No, this is something that it's not. We're not trying. If we make jokes, we're not making light of it.
It's a cringe alert because if there are jokes that are made, and I guarantee you, I will make some.
Yeah.
It's mainly because we're so uncomfortable by this that we're trying to find a way to make it like palatable.
We're trying to relieve tension.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get into the grossness.
So, at the very end of the arc, Kirito confronts Sugo, who is Oberon the Fairy King in this world, because his company
owns,
runs the game,
the servers. Yeah.
So it's just like Akihiko Kaiba being the strongest player in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, it's the same concept.
Well, he was technically immortal in Aincrad, so I mean that's a little different, but it's the same concept. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and of course we know Sugo has kidnapped Asuna and a bunch of other players.
Is this
from
the
SAO arc?
Is this the fight where he turns the pain sensors on?
Yes, because Kirito.
Yes.
He saves Asuna, but then they're dropped into like a
pit.
Weird pit thing, and he turns on a gravity spell that he has only he has access to that pins Kirito to the floor, and he turns the pain receptors all the way up as far as they can go, so that what's happening to Kirito in the game, it feels like it's happening to him in real life.
But, like, worse.
And You know, he stabs him and then makes him. I don't want to do it.
We gotta. I don't want to do it. I'm gonna make you do it.
No.
Prepare for awkward silences then. I'm gonna hold out.
Okay, he makes Kirito watch. Stop looking at me like that. While he sexually assaults Asuna.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just getting that out of the way.
Yeah, it was.
It's, again, cringy, horrible,
unnecessary. Like There's a lot that we don't.
There's is horrible about this.
There's so much wrong with this
arc that it's.
It's so infuriating too, because you're like, I get he's the bad guy, but did you have to go that far?
Right. Does he have to be that creepy?
Yeah.
Like, he could have done a million other things to show off the creepy factor instead of chaining her up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go into full detail. If you want to know what actually happens, go watch the damn thing. I'm not going to explain in detail everything that happens.
I recommend fast forwarding.
I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it.
It's disturbing, and to recount those events with words.
Yeah,
I'm not comfortable with that.
No.
I mean,
and again, we preface this with that these are uncomfortable. This is an uncomfortable topic that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, and, because like, you know, there's a moment when they're in the hospital and like he licks her face.
Yeah, and which, he does it again in this situation.
But with
like he just, smells just her
that,
hair.
That and, one like, hospital moment where he's like holding her hair, then licks her like just. That was more than enough.
Yeah, that got the point across.
Then you had to go into a virtual game.
Right.
And, okay, so I'm going to say something that is patently disgusting.
Okay.
If he can turn pain sensors on, are there other sensors that he can control?
Stop. Yes, there is. Because he flat out tells her in the cage that he can make her love him. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yep, I remember.
I hate this.
Me too.
I hate everything about this arc.
Oh, God.
This is one of the worst arcs in any anime I've ever seen.
Like,
just because the overall story of it isn't bad.
Minus
this stuff, but like, minus the uncomfortable stuff, but I can get past, I can mentally get past the sister cousin incest stuff. I can mentally get past that.
Yeah, you can get that under the misunderstanding. Okay, yeah. So you can get that being like, oh, I'm playing this game and like, oh, I really like this character. He's really nice and cool and like he's always so like badass about everything. And then you're like,
you find out it's your brother and cousin. Then
you kind of have that moment. You're like, oh God, I'm disgusting.
And right.
And then you're like,
because she has that moment about how she originally felt about Kirito.
Right.
The real Kazuto.
Yeah. And then you go like, okay, you know,
she moves on to Kirito and then
right.
Like, but with this stuff, it's hard to get
this
past.
This is a level of messed up that was so unnecessary and disturbing for anyone watching the show.
Yeah.
Like, if you watched this and was like, man, that was good content. No, it wasn't.
No.
Like, there's a line.
It wasn't.
And that was 20,000 miles past the line.
Yeah.
Make him a bad guy. Make him a creep. But you didn't have to go so,
you know,
far.
He talks because she refuses to, obviously, she refuses to, love him and stuff, and then and he tells her in the cage that he flat out can, through mind manipulation, can make her love him, can make her completely forget about Kazuto, and I
don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't know why this is.
Like, this show is pretty good at painting crazy people.
Yeah.
This is a level of crazy that was...
Yeah, because they do a really good job with the Gungale stuff.
Mm-hmm, which we'll talk about later.
But the crazy that they paint in that, it's great.
Yeah, it's like that's crazy.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
This is Jeffrey Dahmer crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's so...
I can't state enough how unnecessary it was.
Yeah, it's something we keep coming back to, is that it was unnecessary. They could have done this, they could have made him creepy and weird and mm-hmm. all that in so many different ways other than...
Literally and maybe, the force-feeding of the worst possible thing you could do.
And maybe it's... I don't... It's not, but... Maybe there's some sort... I don't... Maybe just, we're not understanding something culturally. Maybe it's not... I don't know. It's obviously, it's bad. 100%.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Is this originally a Japanese anime that was converted and dubbed in English?
I believe so.
Okay. So, because like not third, to insult like the Japanese third,
like the,
culture
like
here.
The third season is completely in Japanese right now.
Right.
It's not dubbed.
We're gonna play the fact that we don't understand Japanese culture.
Right, we don't.
And so 100%. We're trying to come up with some sort of logic to it.
Right.
And that's not a good... We're not making an excuse for it. There is nothing to make an excuse for how completely fucked up this part was.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of it, and we don't understand, and maybe it's not. I'm trying to think of any reason why that made sense to the creators of the show, in the manga itself.
I don't know, maybe the manga's worse. You ever think of that?
Maybe
it's, like, full-on worse.
Yeah, maybe.
Which would border on, like, a kind of a porn situation.
Yeah.
Which is also disturbing.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I just had an it comparison in my brain.
Oh, God.
For those of you who don't know,
You'll float too, Kazuto.
No, read the It book about how they get rid of it when they're kids.
Oh, yeah. How they lose their innocence originally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you've read that, you understand this comparison.
We're not going to talk about it.
If you haven't read it...
Look it up.
Don't look it up with kids around.
No.
Because it's horrifying.
Yeah.
Stephen King is a messed up dude. Yeah. And so this may play into the fact that maybe the writers of SAO were like, hey, we need to take it way past where we want to, because mentally,
they need to drive it home. Yeah. And that's probably the intention, is they want it to be uncomfortable. They want to drive home how evil this guy is.
I'm going to make a statement.
Okay.
And this is, again, not an excuse for the writing, because it's terrible and this is something I would never do, and
right.
Why?
This is something that a lot of anime don't do.
Could this be, and again, this is the worst way they could have gone about it.
Right.
Could this have been sort of a political statement about sexuality and like how like the mind of a rapist works, like you can you try to control everything and like bringing to light kind of like the dangers of like creepy men, kind of like a
like I don't
a,
know
kind of like
actually,
a sexual assault
maybe
Me
I don't
Too
know
kind of
I
thing.
Have no idea. Well, this was made in 2012,
right? But I mean,
I get
every culture is different. Maybe it was something very prevalent in Japanese culture at the time,
maybe
that like
people, I have no idea.
People always want to say there's like a high sexual assault rate on college campuses.
Right.
Maybe in Japan, it's happening around that same age, and people like above at power are taking advantage of other people by like manipulation and stuff like
right.
that. It could have been a statement like that. Again, it is the worst possible way you could make a statement like that, but
right.
if that's a statement, I guess you can rationalize it. I'm not saying I'm making an excuse for it, because there's no excuse for
no.
it, because it's,
I don't know,
haunting. I've blocked it out emotionally, to be honest.
Yeah.
And like, there's a lot of this that I'm like, yeah, you talk about it, because mentally I can't put the pictures back, because I can't recall
right.
them.
And I'm surprised.
Because I am horrified.
And one thing that I'm surprised that they don't do in some of the in the future arcs is they don't make it a source of trauma for her.
Oh yeah, because half the,
because
the entire
they don't, they
Gun
don't
Gale
mention...
arc is about Kirito's trauma.
Yeah.
We just skip over Asuna as like she
yeah.
didn't go through anything.
Yeah.
She went through the worst
because
of it.
It kind of it's weird, because the second season kind of hurts her character a lot.
Yeah, because
like,
she was supposed to be the steely, like, lightning flash sword killer.
The third arc technically does a good job of helping kind of redeem that a little bit, but she's one of the best characters, if not the best character in
Alfheim, Einrad,
because of the obvious strength factor behind her,
right? And she's a strong lead,
right?
And it's really like, yes, right. Finally,
she could have been the entire focus of the show,
right?
And I would have been 100% fine with that.
She's literally,
it's a lot like, I know you're not into Star Wars, but it's a lot like Ahsoka Tano in the Star Wars, the Clone Wars series.
Is that the like orange with the stripy hair?
Yeah. Yes.
I know who you're talking about. I watched Clone Wars.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's a lot like Ahsoka Tano. Yeah. She is one of the best female leads in any animated show, if in any show I've ever seen.
It's a high praise.
Yeah. Dave Filoni and George Lucas did a phenomenal job of essentially taking a character that didn't exist up until 3 or 4 years after Revenge of the Sith came out, and putting her in an already established world and making her universally loved and accepted as canon. Like, the entire last season of the Clone Wars is Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
Like, it takes place during Revenge of the Sith. Like, it's phenomenal.
And the
character
doesn't exist during Revenge of the Sith.
No, not in the original movie.
So, yeah. That's impressive.
It's
awesome.
But, yeah, the awesome is the same way in the first one. In the second one, she's still got the defiant, you know.
But she seems like kind of... I don't want to say anything negative about her because of the whole situation, but at the same time, she goes from lightning flash death rapier to kind of pathetic damsel in distress.
Yeah, sort of. Like,
and like she's still like revolting.
And part of,
but
and part of that
like
is
stuck.
Is the situation she's
yeah,
in.
Yeah, she's stuck.
But like in the Gungale arc, she's a healer. Like, that's all she does. Like,
yeah,
really?
She's not a support character.
No.
She's a frontline fighter, and we all know it.
Yeah, she was in the... I don't know. Maybe she got tired of it. I don't know. Maybe she didn't want to be frontline anymore.
Violent anymore?
I don't know.
I guess there wasn't a whole lot of... There aren't casters in Sword Art.
No?
So maybe she had to.
Yeah, maybe she was... Maybe she would have liked to be a caster.
Because she was always the second...
There was no magic in Sword Art.
Well, there was, like, potions and stuff. And crystals,
but there was no, like, casting.
Right.
Casting magic.
I think it's an interesting thought that
potions can be classified under alchemy a little bit.
I guess, yeah. But you had... Every time that Kirito and her were in, like, a boss battle, she was always the second switch.
Yeah, she was the second
switch. So he would always lead... And she would switch in basically just to hold the line.
Yeah.
And then he would switch back in and do all the heavy damage. And again, that's just kind of how her character plays. Maybe she is more...
Of the caster.
Along the line of, I want to be the support person.
Yeah,
Or maybe
they established this character of, when she was with the Knights of the Blood Oath, of, I could be the leader if Heathcliff wasn't around.
Yeah, I'm vice commander of the strongest guild.
Yeah. In a year.
Yeah.
In under a year.
Here's my thought, though. And this is because I play a lot of games similar to this.
Right.
It's all about party comp.
Yeah.
So, with Leafa not being a support person.
Right.
With...
Which Leafa can cast spells, but they're
more,
mainly attack spells.
Yeah, they're more offensive. And Kirito, frontline fighter with swords.
Yeah. Klein.
Klein, frontline fighter with
a sword.
You have...
Liz and...
Liz uses a warhammer, like...
Yeah, or a mace, but...
Yeah, whatever. And then you've got the dragon girl. I don't remember what her name is.
Silica.
Maybe it's party comp. Maybe they don't have a support fighter.
Yeah.
And so they needed someone who could do support. And Asuna was the last person to join. So
with the personalities they've created, I'm surprised that Silica's not the support.
Which she could be.
Maybe,
but she couldn't just be not very strong. Because she's young. She's like a kid.
Right. She's the youngest in the group.
By far.
Yeah. And maybe not. I don't know. Maybe that's just... She's just really short.
No, because her like, connection with... is it Pina? I think I want to say her...
Mm-hmm.
dragon thing's name.
It's more like a pet than...
It's more like childish. It's more like your connection to like a stuffed animal or a dog. Like it's very like companion-y. Like I need this, and like her reactions in general and her like inability to handle the whole that arc in Aincrad where she's talking to the red haired chick that was trying to like.
Right.
Get the pet so she could skin it and make pants out of it or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
But you see how young she is and youthful. And so maybe Asuna was the perfect person. And she's like, well, I've always wanted to try it.
Right.
Because, you know, you don't know if you like something until you try it.
When her nickname, he mentions her nickname in the at the end of the Gungale arc. She's the Berserk Healer.
Yeah.
Like, so she obviously has the flashes of being Lightning Flash Asuna. But that's not her main persona.
Yeah.
Well, and we'll get into it later, but she has, like, a weird identity crisis in... which makes me think... Which... I don't know. I won't get too much into it. She has a weird identity crisis about how she used to be this badass, and now she's support. You know?
Which is... It's common. I mean, I went from... In my D&D world, I went from being two-handed sword guy to... Warlock with only a couple spell slots and basically was using as a support healer. And so I was like, I had a crisis similar to that, how she's going to have one.
Right.
Is I was like, man, I really don't feel like I'm being useful and I feel like I'm not doing a good job and I'm not enjoying the combat like I used to.
Right.
Like when you have a two-handed big sword and just destroy people, do shit tons of damage.
Right.
You feel good. Yeah. You feel good rolling all those dice.
Yeah.
And doing like 60 points of damage. And then you turn around and like, I Eldritch Blast. Pew. 9 points of damage.
Shit.
Woo! And I heal you 6 points. Alright, I did so, it.
We're gonna take a break from Sword Art and for the next episode. We're actually gonna look at I believe fan service, I think is what we decided on.
Yes.
We're going to break down fan service.
Pros, cons.
Pros, cons, how to do it correctly if you do it, how they do it wrong a lot of the time.
How they do it too much.
Yes.
And shows that need to super dial it back.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Fairy Tail.
100%. All right. We'll see you guys later.
Peace.